Now, if you'll take your Bibles and open them to the book of Isaiah, we're going to be looking at the 55th chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah 55, verse 3. Now, here's my subject today, the sure mercies of David. I'm going to be talking about a covenant. I'm going to be talking about the mercies of God. I'm going to be talking about that everlasting covenant of grace. It's going to be an interesting time, and I invite you to spend it with me. But here in Isaiah 55, verse 3, now listen carefully. Our God says, incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make with you, an everlasting covenant, even, the sure mercies of David. Do you hear what God's saying? I think sometimes we read the Word of God and we read it so flippantly and carelessly and so quickly that we just don't really hear what God's saying. Do you hear what He's saying? Let me paraphrase a little bit. He's saying, turn your ears this way. Turn your ears this way. Listen to me. Listen to me. He says, hear my word, hear my promises, come to me. Come to me with a hearing ear. Come to me with a ready heart, and your soul will live forever. Hear me, come to me, incline your ear, and your soul will live forever. I will make with you an everlasting covenant. I, God Almighty, the eternal living God, the King of kings and Lord of lords, will enter into a covenant with you, a covenant that shall never change and never be broken and never cease. And upon you shall come those sure, certain, eternal mercies that I conferred upon David. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, that man, twice God said, who's a man after my own heart. Now you think about that. You got time to listen? You got time to listen? That's what God says, listen to me. Come to me. Incline your ear this way. And your soul will live. And I'll make with you an everlasting covenant. And I'll confer upon you the sure mercies of David. Now, if you're interested, for the next few minutes, I'll enlarge upon what we call the everlasting covenant and the sure mercies of David. But you've got to have some interest. I'm not here to entertain you, and we're not building a school over our way or promoting anything special. I'm here to tell you about Christ and about His mercies. You care to hear it? All right, listen. First of all, the word covenant appears in the Bible over 250 times. Just the word covenant. Have you ever run across it? Have you missed it? 250 times. Our Lord speaks of a covenant with Noah. You know, every time you see the rainbow, you ought to think of a covenant. For God said to Noah after the ark came down from the flood, and God said, as He put the rainbow in the sky, He said, I'll never destroy the water, the world by water again. And that bow in the sky will be a sign of the covenant that I'll make with you. I'll destroy it by fire, but never by water. And then there was a covenant with Abraham. And then there was a covenant with Israel. And then there was a covenant with David. And many more. Over 250 times God talks about the covenant. But now listen to me. Here's where you want to listen a little more carefully. I've been giving you general information. But now this is to the point. There are two main covenants with which we have to do. There are two main covenants mentioned in the Scripture with which we have to do. The first covenant called the covenant of works. And that was the covenant made with Adam and all his sons in him. Covenant of works made with Adam in the Garden of Eden. And then that second covenant, or the new covenant. And the reason it's called the New Covenant is not because it's a covenant made after the first one. Usually the second comes after the first, but in this case, the first covenant was second. The reason this new covenant is called the new covenant is because it's newly revealed. You see, God revealed the covenant of works before he revealed the covenant of grace, though the covenant of grace preceded the covenant of works. Christ was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before God ever made Adam, before God ever put Adam on the earth, he talked about the everlasting covenant, surety of an everlasting covenant, Christ being the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, having a people chosen in Christ before the world, before the foundation of the world. So this new covenant is a covenant of grace, an everlasting covenant. So there you have the two covenants, the covenant of works and the covenant of grace. The old covenant and the new covenant. Now then, listen. We, all of us, every one of us, every son of Adam, every one of us is vitally involved and vitally affected by that first covenant, the covenant of works. Yes, sir. We're all vitally affected by that one. Every one of us, everybody out there listening to my voice that came from Adam, and everybody came from Adam. If you remember the human race, you came from Adam. We all are involved in and affected by that covenant of works. Now, here's what I'm saying. I hope by God's grace that you and I have an interest in that new covenant, in that covenant of grace, in that everlasting covenant. Now, I know those two covenants, the rest of them ought to be studied because they have some relationship to our Lord Jesus Christ in revealing him to us. But principally, you and I are involved in two covenants. One, the covenant of works. Two, the covenant of grace. One, the covenant made with Adam. Two, the covenant made with the second Adam. One, the covenant of works made with Adam who fell, and two, the covenant of grace made with Christ by whom we're restored. In Adam we die, in Christ we're made alive. That's what Scripture says. In Adam, death came. By man, Christ, restoration or resurrection came. All right, let's look for a brief moment at the first covenant. The first covenant, what we call the covenant of works. It was made with Adam. Adam was a representative person. The word Adam itself means man, made from the red earth. Adam, red, earth, man. Adam was made from the earth. God made him from the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He became a living soul. Eve was taken out of Adam. God took a rib out of Adam and made Eve. She's from him. He's her representative. He's her leader, her authority, her federal head, just like he is all who came from him. The whole human race is in the loins of Adam. When that first child was born, that's the first part of the human race. And from then on, every child is a part of Adam's race. And that covenant that God made with Adam, when he made him and put him in the Garden of Eden, he's the trunk of the tree. He's the head of the human race. He's the representative. He's the federal head. He is man, M-A-N. Adam is man. And all men are in that man. God never created but one man, and that's Adam. He created one man. And everything else and everybody else, every creature walking on two legs called human came from Adam. And God spoke to Adam and gave him a covenant. And it summed up in four words. God said to Adam, "This do and live." That was it. All the requirements and the laws that God gave to Adam summed up in one sentence of four words, "This, do, and live." God said, "Adam, you're a king, you're a prince, you have dominion over the whole earth, multiply and replenish the earth, subdue the world, but there's one tree in the garden of which you shall not eat, lest you die. That tree is a token of my sovereignty, token of your dependence on me, token of my independence of you, that I do all things well, I'm God." And Adam, of course, took the forbidden fruit. You see, that covenant failed. That first covenant failed because man didn't keep God's law. Man didn't keep God's commandments. That first covenant was doomed from the start because it was made with a creature liable to fall. And because of Adam's sin, because of Adam's fall, death, judgment, condemnation came upon all his seed, all his people, all whom he represented. Adam is a representative person. Let me show you that in the scripture if you care. Notice I said because of Adam's sin. This is what the Bible says, what God's Word says. What's our source of authority? What's our source of information other than the scripture? We can't just reach out and take doctrine out of the air and make it stand. It's got to come from the Word. Now listen to Romans 5. By one man, verse 12, sin entered the world. By one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin. Death is caused by sin. The sting of death is sin. And death came into the world, and death passed upon all men. You see, when we're born of Adam, we're born dead in trespasses and sin. Look at Romans 5:17. By one man's offense, death reigned. Whose offense? Adam. He was a federal head. He was a representative person. Romans 5:18, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Not some men, not the worst of men, but all men and women. Romans 5:19, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That's what we're saying. 1 Corinthians 15, in Adam all die. I'm not making this up, dear friend. I'm reading it from God's Word. When God spoke to Adam in the garden, He spoke to the whole human race. Adam was our representative. Adam is man. Adam's our federal head. When he lived, we lived. When he stood, we stood. When he died, we died. When he sinned, we sinned. When he fell, we fell. And the covenant was obliterated. It was eradicated. It was destroyed. This covenant of works is broken. It no longer has anything for us but condemnation. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. That's what it says. No man is justified by works in the sight of God. It's evident. It's evident. That was the first covenant. Now in my text in Isaiah 55:3, God says, I will make a new covenant. I'll make a new covenant. We got to have a new one. The old one's broken. The old one's done away with. The old one's destroyed. The old one's is lying in pieces at our feet. It can't do anything but condemn us. We need a new one. And God says, I'll make with you a new covenant. And there's six things about this new covenant you need to look into. This new covenant, and as I said before, it's newly revealed. It was already waiting Adam's fall. You see, God doesn't do things like we do. We wait for something to happen, then we make some plans. But God foresees all things. He foreknows all things because He foreordains all things. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning. He declares the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. And Adam's fall didn't slip up on God. There was a Savior before there was a sinner. There was a lamb slain before a sin offering was needed. And this new covenant is newly revealed. And it's a covenant of grace, not of works, of pure grace. A covenant of works won't do us any good. We had one of those one time. It didn't do us any good. And it won't do you any good now. There's no use a preacher coming to you and giving you a system of works by which to live. You can't live that way. And then it's a covenant for the sinner, not for the righteous. Christ said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. So it's a covenant for sinners, not for the righteous. And then this covenant is unconditional. As far as I'm concerned and you're concerned, as far as the creature's concerned. Now, it has conditions, but Christ met them. Christ met him. You see, it's unconditional. It's free. It's free grace. It's free grace. It's the gift of God. God keeps saying that to us, and we're so hard-headed and hard of hearing. He says, eternal life's the gift of God. You don't buy gifts. People give them to you. You don't pay for gifts. If a friend hands you a gift for Christmas or your birthday and you hand him a quarter, you'd insult him. And we insult God. We spit in God's face all the time. We give Him our quarters for eternal life. It's unconditional. And it's an everlasting covenant. It'll never cease. Everlasting. What does everlasting mean? Always and always and always and always. And then this covenant is ordered in all things. David talked about it. You know, If you read 2 Samuel 23, verse 5, it says these are the last words of David. And this is especially significant right here because our Lord said, I'm going to make a new covenant with you and give you the sure mercies of David. So when David was dying, the author of all the Psalms, the slayer of Goliath, the ruler of the people, the man after God's own heart, you know what his last words were? Last words David said before he died. He said this, although it be not so with my house, God hath made with me an everlasting covenant. That's the last word. David who talked about the shepherd, David who talked about God's power, David who talked about God's holiness, David who talked about God's Redeemer, and all these subjects he had in 150 Psalms. But he came down to die. Where did he find his rest? Where did he find his hope? Where did he find his confidence? Where did he find his assurance? God hath made with me an everlasting covenant. And this is something preachers don't preach about and don't talk about and people don't study. And yet David, man after God's own heart, when he came to face God in death, when he came to meet God at the judgment, when he came to face eternity, he said, you know, God hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Watch it. And he said, this is all my salvation. Think of the things he had done. From a boy, he had been anointed king of Israel. He'd faced the armies of the Philistines, the uncircumcised heathen, alone. In the power of God and slew their giant, their champion. He'd reigned over Israel. He'd made the Israel the greatest kingdom on the face of the earth. He'd written all these Psalms. But when he came to die, he said, you know what? All my salvation and all my desire, God made with me an everlasting covenant. It's ordered in everything, nothing lacking. And then this covenant is filled with the sure mercies. Sure mercies. Oh, I tell you, sure mercies. I'm tired of temporary things, aren't you? The hymn writer said, change and decay in all around I see. O thou that changest not, abide with me. Learn this. Actually, now listen to me. This everlasting covenant, which God says I'll make with you, and in which David found his comfort and his desire and salvation, is made with us, oh, get this, my friend, in our representative, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that covenant of works was made with us in Adam. In Adam, you see, we sin. In Christ, we're restored. As we born the image of the earthy, we'll bear the image of the heavenly. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. The covenant of works was made with that natural man, flesh, Adam. He fell. He broke it. That second covenant was made with us in Christ, with our second Adam. That's right. That's what the Word says. It says, in Adam we die, in Christ we're made alive. That's right. It says, by one man's disobedience we were made sinners. By one man's obedience, we were made righteous. That's right. It's the eternal covenant wherein God determined to save a people, and he gave them to Christ. He gave them to Christ. Our Lord said, listen, John 6:37, all that my Father giveth me will come to me, and him that cometh I'll in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that all that he hath given me, I lose nothing but raise it up at the last day. This everlasting covenant, God says, I'll make with you an everlasting covenant. It was made with us in Christ. It wasn't made with us directly. Nothing we could do about it. We couldn't handle it. We couldn't fulfill it. We couldn't understand it. We couldn't embrace it. We couldn't meet its requirement. No use God making any more covenants with us. We're dead in trespasses and sin. But thank God, watch it. He made it with Christ. back yonder in the eternal counsels of glory. And he revealed it after Adam fell. He revealed it all the way through his word. When God says, I'll make with you an everlasting covenant, he's saying, this covenant is made with you in Christ, and that's the only way it can be certain. And that's the only way it can be sure, because he never fails. God put everything in good hands, in the hands of Christ. Now, there are two or three vital things that you and I need to learn. Things that are not being preached in our day, and things that most people don't know anything about. And you know what they are? Here's one of them. God forgives sin. But God never forgives sin and frees the sinner at the expense of his character. Now, he never does. God never forgives sin or overlooks sin or puts away sin at the expense of his character and his holiness and his justice. God is righteous, and he's going to keep on being righteous. God is holy, and he's going to keep on being holy. God is just, and he must keep on being just. God must punish sin. He has to punish sin. If he can be just and justifier, if he can be both holy and merciful, then he will do something for us as far as the saving of our souls is concerned. But there's no way that a sinner can be justified in the eyes of God unless God's holy law is honored and God's justice is satisfied. Now, that's just so. That's just so. You see, God is holy. You and I are unholy. Now, the only way that God Almighty can receive unholy creatures is for them to be made holy. Be made holy in the eyes of the law and before the throne of justice. And that's what he does in Christ. This is why God provided a substitute. This is why Jesus Christ came into this world in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was born of a woman. Now, I want to take you through this a little bit. You see, God made with Adam a covenant. Adam broke it and fell. The whole human race fell in him. Sin, death, judgment, condemnation passed upon all men. We became sinners. God had made with Christ in eternity an everlasting covenant on our behalf. He made a covenant with us in Christ, our representative. Well, from the time Adam fell, God started giving promises and prophecies and pictures of this Redeemer who would come, of this Christ who would come, of this prophet like Moses and priest like Melchizedek and king like David who would come and fulfill all that the sinner needed and all that the law required and all that justice demanded and all that this covenant of grace required in order to deliver its promises. So one day he came. Our representative, our federal head, our Lord from heaven, he came. And he must be born like we're born. He was born of a woman. And he must grow up from infancy to young manhood like we grew up, subject to his parents, subject to all the laws, all the requirements, all morality and decency and holiness and truth and beauty and love and faith and everything that the perfect God required. And he did no sin. He knew no sin. There was no guile in his mouth. And he perfectly kept the law on this earth, walking in this tempted, tested, tried in all points as we are, yet without sin. See, he's a representative person. A person. Not just an example. Not a frustrated reformer, but a representative. He stood for me. He lived for me. He died for me. You see, he lived for me and satisfied God's law. He died for me and satisfied God's justice. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Christ died. He was buried and rose again. Now he's at God's right hand as our representative. And watch this, 1 Corinthians 1:30. God says, but of God, are you in Christ? In Christ. In Christ, in his birth. In Christ, in his life. In Christ, in his death. In Christ, in his burial. In Christ, in his resurrection. In Christ, in his ascension. In Christ, in his mediatorial reign. You're in Christ. And he is made unto you all you need. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It's all in Christ. You're complete in Him. That's what it says. Everything dwells in Him, and you're complete in Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Learn two things in regard to the gospel. Substitution. Somebody taking our place. And satisfaction. What He did is sufficient. But 2 Corinthians 5:21 says He, Christ, was made sin. Made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Took our sins in His body on the tree. He was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And the sure mercies of David, let me give you just three or four and I'll quit. In Jeremiah 31:33, God says, "This shall be the covenant that I will make with them in those days. I'll put my law in their inward parts, not written on stones, but written on the heart. I'll write it on their hearts that they'll love it, and I'll be their God, and they'll be my people." Verse 34, and He said, "They shall know me." They're not going to have to say, "Let's teach everybody about God." Everybody who loves God will know God, from the least to the greatest. And then He said in verse 34, "I'll forgive their iniquities, and I'll remember their sins no more. I'll blot them out. No more. No more." And He said in verse 39, "I'll give them one heart and one way, and they'll fear me forever." Now watch verse 40, Jeremiah 32. "I'll make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from them ever, and they shall not depart from me." And you know the writer of the Hebrews picks that same theme up in Hebrews 10, and he says God will put His law in our hearts. He'll remember our sins no more, and He opens for us into the very presence of God a new and living way. So come boldly. Now I have this message on the covenant on a cassette tape. On the other side is a message I brought last week. If you want this message, write to me, send $2, $2 donation. We'll send it to you by return mail. The covenant, that's the way to order this message. Until next week, may God bless you, everyone.